Jesus walks into into Jerusalem, and people are happy to see him. And then what follows in the next week that leads to the cross. So I welcome you in the name of Christ Jesus as we come together. And I am going to quickly do announcements, because we left that out, right? Yep. Okay, I have an announcement. This past week, 65 volunteers worked long hours to make our Pasty Bake a success. Sue, Helen, Celeste, and Donna want to thank each and every one of you and a group of UMB students who helped put us over the finish line on Saturday. Not only did Lester Park Church donate equipment that made our work easier, several of the members volunteered to help us. How many pasties did you make last year? 970 pasties last year? This year, 1,140 pasties were made. Yes. And in fact, the workers and their families did not get their pasties because there were so many orders. And Donna wants to let you know that there is rutabaga and carrots for sale. Rutabaga is $3 a pound and carrots are $2 a pound, and they're downstairs after worship. Who else has an announcement? Anybody? Newsletter folding will be on Good Friday at 10 a.m. for one of your activities.
Okay, I'm sure I speak for all the pasty workers when I say we want to give a big thank you to Sue, Donna, Celeste, and Helen.
Rejection and torment.
And we witness once more that
Jesus, palms waving, tables overturning, cross awaiting, let us remember his life and death. And our first song is Hosanna, Loud Hosanna. Let's join together in our unison prayer.
comes from Mark 11, verses 1 through 11, and I'm using the Living Bible, so it may not correspond to the screen. As they neared Bethpeg and Bethlehem on the outskirts of Jerusalem and came to the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples ahead. "Go into the village over there," he told them, "and just as you enter, you will see a colt tied and bring him to me. He has never been ridden. And if anyone asks you what you're doing, just say, 'Our master needs him and will return him soon.'" Off went the two men, and they found the colt standing in the street, tied outside a house. And when they were untying it, some who were standing there demanded, "What are you doing untying that colt?" So they said what Jesus had told them to say, and then the men agreed. So the colt was brought to Jesus, and the disciples threw their cloaks across it for him to ride on. Then many of the crowd spread out their coats along the road before him, and while others threw down leafy branches from the fields. He was in the center of the procession with the crowds ahead and behind, and all of them shouting, "Hail to the King! Praise God for him who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise him for the return of our father David's kingdom. Hail to the King of the universe." And so he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. He looked around carefully at everything, and then he left. For now it was late in the afternoon, and went out to Bethany with the 12 disciples.
Well, at the end, but before that, he went into the temple,
And he was very angry that people were using the temple wrong and changing money to make offerings and selling animals to be sacrificed and all these things that he thought shouldn't be happening within the temple walls. And so there's a story about Jesus going in and he overturned the tables that people were using and he got everybody really mad at him. And even his followers started thinking, yeah, they were all like that. Started thinking, oh, this is not how it's going to be. He's not going to help us. He's going to cause us more trouble. So by the end of the week, they didn't even stop them from trying to crucify Jesus. So in this 1 week, they go from way wild hosannas welcoming Jesus to putting him on the cross. So this is we call this Holy Week because this is the holiest week leading up to what? What's next Sunday?
Easter.
Yep. And so Easter, what happened? Why do we celebrate Easter?
Because he rose
up on
the cross.
Yep, he came alive, rose on the cross. Rose up after he was on the cross. Yep. So, pretty cool. But in between, lots of pain, lots of different things going on. So, yeah. It's a good question. What does Hosanna mean? Do we know? Does anyone know what? What is it? Hallelujahs? It's just a praise. It's just saying you're wonderful. We welcome you. Sure. It's not stump the pastor. All right. Well, so there's lots of things that go on this week, but for right now, we celebrate and then we think about what Jesus went through. For us. So, let us pray. Jesus, we thank you for reminding us about how wonderful they thought you were and how quickly that changed. Help us to remember that we need to have more faith and not change our minds about your wonders. As we go through this holiest of weeks, let us remember that not everything happens without great sacrifice, and you have given us the greatest gift of all. We ask you also to bless these children as they continue to learn about you and understand the love and grace that you give us through your life, death, and resurrection. Amen. Well, it looks like we have some teachers right down there.
Getting a promotion, but there are about 10 other people. So pray for Jeff that he's the one that gets the promotion, please. He's trying to get his life back in order because his house was destroyed pretty bad in the floods and hurricanes in Texas. Thanks.
All right. Jeff and our prayers. Other joys, concerns? Well, it's a joy to have all of you with us. I know there's some families that are together in here. And people who are guests, so welcome. We love having everyone together. Then let's be in a time of silent prayer. Gracious and loving God, come to this holiest part of our year. Help us. Help us to not be as fickle as the people who met Jesus coming into Jerusalem with palm branches and ending up watching his resurrection. Help us to be reminded of the great and wonderful gift you give us through Christ Jesus, and reminded that we are people of faith and need not fear death. We ask you also, Lord, today to hear our prayers, spoken and unspoken, for we know that letting go of those concerns helps us to continue to move forward in this life. We thank you for this day and for this congregation together to worship and to praise and to remember. Be with us all as we go through this holiest of weeks. Amen. And because we have a great rest of our morning worship with our Easter musical, let us bring forth the offering at this time. Lord, we thank you for the day and for each and every moment that we get to spend together in this world. Please take these offerings and use them as we continue to work to bring in your kingdom. Amen. Please be seated. As it says in your bulletin, Redeemer is an Easter musical because redemption is not an easy topic to address in the light of the precious gift from God. And this musical works to help us to see the story of Jesus last week and his precious gift to us.
Together to celebrate the love of our great Redeemer, who came into this world to seek us, the lost children of his Father's creation, and buy us back. This is the story that has the power to change us if we're willing to enter it and to own it, to taste its tragedy and celebrate its triumph, to feel its viciousness and rejoice in its victory, to mourn its death, and allow ourselves to be swallowed up in its life.
Our Savior lives, touch the stars, his body. prince, but as a peasant. He spent his youth, his young adulthood in a carpenter's shop, learning a trade, and in the temple studying the holy books.
Then at some precise heartbeat in heaven, God let Jesus know the time had come for him to leave home to accomplish his real assignment, to redeem his fallen father's family. After humbling himself to be baptized by his cousin John, he began to walk through the countryside and along the seashore, putting together a band of followers who would become his closest friends. At first, his disciples did not know who Jesus was, but the longer they were with him, the clearer it became. For centuries, the people of Israel had desperately cried out to God for delivering, using the word Hosanna, which meant save us. But as Jesus came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey before Passover, that word suddenly took on a new meaning. In the crowds that thronged around him, there was an almost tangible sense of hope, for many of the people that day saw in him the answer to their cries. In his presence, the word Hosanna was no longer a prayer, but an affirmation that their prayer was being answered. At last, in Jesus, the word Hosanna became a shout of praise. Something Jesus had never experienced. But the very separation he dreaded was the final mile of the lonely road he had come to travel for us. And in the end, he did not turn back. Your will, Father, not mine, became his prayer. Who was this man who caused such controversy, who ignited faith in some and fury in others, whose compassion lifted and the humble and whose righteousness enraged the proud? He existed before the earth's formation, yet he chose to come to earth. He predated time itself, yet he entered the specific time in history as part of a human family. Who was Jesus? He was not a tragic victim at the whim of human cruelty. He was the sinless one, becoming sin for us, taking upon himself the awful punishment we alone deserve.
For this frail creation, caught in a maze of discouragement, Jesus came. For those who would jeer him and abuse him, for those who would take his dignity and his life, he came. For those who would betray him, and those who would despise him, for the sinful, sorrowful, broken-hearted people who walked the streets and the countryside of his own place and time in history, he came.
But here's the mystery and the miracle. He also came for us, for this very moment in time, for our blatant sins and hidden addictions, our questions and problems and fears.
What price did Jesus pay to redeem our lives? He paid in the currency of pain and humiliation and death. Roman soldiers flogged and beat him. They mocked him and spit on him, dressing him in a scarlet robe and a crown of thorns and calling him King of the Jews. And when he was in so much pain he could hardly stand, they put a massive cross on his shoulders and made him carry it down the street of jeering spectators to a hill called Calvary.
It's only at Calvary that our lives finally come into focus. As we stand before the cross and watch the nails driven into our Savior's hands and feet, as we hear his tortured voice cry out to his Father, "Forgive them, Father, they don't know what they're doing." As we see the spear pierce his side and watch the blood and water flow, we're stricken with a stark reality. These are our sins we are staring at. And this brutal suffering is what they've cost him.
Only as we understand Calvary can we understand redemption. Only as we look into the face of our Redeemer's love can we appreciate what our sin has cost him.
It was our pride and arrogance that drove the nails into his hands and feet, our greed and ingratitude that crowned his head with thorns, our hatred and prejudice that pierced his side. It was our sin in all its wretchedness, every named and unnamed atrocity, every slight deviation from God's perfect law, that laid his lifeless body in a borrowed tomb and rolled a massive boulder across its opening with absolute finality.
staff parish is meeting after worship in the in my office, and you're all welcome to come downstairs for fellowship time as we continue with our, quote, second service. And as you go into this wondrous, wondrous week, go forth remembering the good and the bad, but most of all remembering that Jesus came for us. He lived, died, and rose so that we do not have to fear death and have victory over fear. Go forth in love and go forth fearlessly. Amen.